Can you say something, Ashley?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't hear anything.
Sorry. I was just sighing exasperatedly.
Oh, yeah. My God. It's Merlin.
Merlin.
My baby.
Hi, my handsome boy.
Does he have a St. Patrick's Day bow
he
on?
He has a St. Patrick's bow tie on. Yeah, cute. It has a little rainbow on it, too.
Aw.
Some little rainbows, some little leprechauns and beer glasses and little
rainbow. I still think about his cuddles every day.
He's such a good boy. Hey guys, welcome to Insomniacs, the podcast where we talk about all things true crime, supernatural, and mysterious. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Char, and these are the scary stories that keep us up at night. Do you want to hear an absolutely unhinged dating story?
Always, all the time.
It's about a man who is newly single and getting back into the dating world.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good time.
Sure.
I know Ashley hasn't been single for a very long time.
So I haven't been single.
I can't relate.
Yeah, I haven't been single since I was 16. So
it was a child.
Mm-hmm.
So for those single people out there everywhere, I'm sorry in advance. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for Sean, who's going to hear this. And I'm just sorry for the general like male population, because there's some crazy dating stories out there.
Yikes.
But when you hear this one, I think it takes the cake.
Really?
This is the craziest dating story I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, my God.
I saw someone cover this story a little bit on TikTok. Like, I was just scrolling and doing my thing. And mm-hmm. someone was doing, like, a brief synopsis about this story. And my jaw was on the floor.
Oh.
There's no way that's real. No way. None of it. Anyway, this story I learned is also on Netflix. You can watch the documentary there. It's called Lover, Stalker, Killer.
Ooh.
I don't know if I go into this, if you've heard of it. I never heard of it before. I didn't even know it was on Netflix. So we're going to dive right into the story of Dave Krupa. And I got some of this information because there's like documentaries that ABC did, interviews mm-hmm. with him. And those videos I will post in my description notes, because I watched both the Netflix and the ABC documentary, and there's different information in both. So okay. One doesn't cover some and the other one doesn't cover the other. So
okay.
Kind of good to look at both.
Yeah.
So for time's sake, I had to cut some information out, but I'll go over a little bit of it.
Sure.
This story takes place in 2012 with Dave Krupa in Omaha, Nebraska. Dave is newly single from his longtime girlfriend, whom he shared two kids with. Dave Krupa and Amy Flora is his baby mama. They met really, really young. They never got married, but they had two kids together, a boy and a girl.
Yeah, so they just look like two sweet, like early 20-somethings.
They had a good relationship still, but you know, it didn't work out. So he moved to Omaha, Nebraska to be close to his kids and start new there and be close to them and just get back into the dating world. He felt lonely. He wanted to make new friends, meet someone new. So he signed up for dating sites and he began matching with other women on the site called Plenty of Fish.
Right.
And he started going on dates. That's a normal thing to do.
Yeah.
Dave, he said that he didn't match with very many people at all, or he wasn't really hearing back from anyone, except for one woman named Shayna Golier, or she went by Liz. Liz Golier was her nickname. Maybe that was like a middle name. Who knows?
I was going to say, yeah, I can definitely see how you can get Liz from Shayla. That
it's probably a middle name. People do that all the time. I don't know why that's her nickname. So they had a lot in common, Dave discovered. They were both in their mid-30s. I think she was 34. He was 35. They both had two kids, a boy and a girl. They both liked the same sci-fi movies. They both liked the same music, like metal. They both really were into motorcycles, and he rode a motorcycle. She was into them. And he just thought she was a really cool chick in general. So they go on a date and they hit it off. They have a really good time. Go to like a bar or something. I don't know. And they start seeing each other. So the only thing was, Dave didn't want anything really serious. He wanted to fool around. And he made that clear to her. Like, he said, I don't want a serious thing. Like, I just got out of a long-term relationship. And she was fine with it, she said. But he was upfront with her. He was upfront with her. She said she wanted that, too. She had two kids. She had a full house. Like, she was fine with that.
And, like, for the record, it's completely fine to not want something serious after getting into a long-term relationship. Like, that's it's totally fair. Chill. Yeah.
So he was, you know, clear with her about that. And he, since they weren't exclusive, he was still browsing those dating sites and going on dates with other women. He was doing a single dad thing, you know. He was providing for his kids. He had his kids on the weekends. And he also worked at an auto repair shop. So that's what he did for a living. So one day, a beautiful woman walked into the shop that needed repairs on her car. Beautiful, sparkling.
Lit up the room.
She did. That's what her family and friends described her. She would light up a room. She was the life of the party. Her name was Carrie Farver. So she was also a single mom. And Dave noted that there was just something really special about her when he saw her. He was really attracted to her. And he described, like, there was a little spark between them. Like, she was attracted to him, too. There was some sexual tension there.
Ooh, okay.
I know. But he kept it professional. So, you know, like, I worked on the problems with her car. And then she left and he thought he would never see her again. That was that. Cool. Move on with my life, man.
But he did, in fact, see her again.
Until fate strikes. A few weeks later, he matched with her on his dating app. How weird.
Wow, what a quinkadink.
It is, right? It must be meant to be.
Yeah.
He asked her out on a date. He's like, I know you. She's like, I know you too. Want to go out? And she agrees. They go out. They had a pretty good first date. Okay. They got to know each other a little bit better, like on the date. Like, I do this for a living. And blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. They like each other. And they decide to go back to his place to go and get a little spicy.
Turn things up a little bit.
They did. They turned it up a little bit. So Dave said that when they got to his place and closed the door, they hadn't even taken their coats off before his doorbell buzzed. And it was Liz.
Oh.
And they had dropped. She said that she dropped by to pick something up of hers that she had left at his apartment. Hey, you know, I love my thing. Can I get it? And so it was really awkward because remember, Liz is a woman that he's casually seeing. They're not exclusive.
Yeah. And also, what year did you say this was?
2012.
So like texting is a thing. Hey, man, I left this thing at your house. Can I stop by and pick it up?
No, she just showed up.
Yeah.
So it was super awkward, Dave said. And so he had to explain the situation to Carrie. And she's like, oh, okay, well, I'll just leave. And she decided she was just going to go back home because she didn't want to make it weird. And like, okay, well, you handle that and I'll go home. So Dave walks Carrie, you know, to leave. And Liz is just waiting outside the door. And this is an apartment complex. So Liz and Carrie exchange glances as Carrie walked by. Like an awkward 2 to 3 seconds stop.
Her like keeping eye contact as she walks by.
Super awkward. 2 to 3 seconds tops. It wasn't, they didn't even exchange words. They didn't know each other. They were just like, well, okay, well. After Liz left, Dave called Carrie and she was already halfway home, but she invited him to her place and they, you know, he agreed to come over. And so they got spicy over at her place. And so what she said was, you know, I'm not interested in anything serious. I just want like casual. And he's like, perfect. Me too. This is great.
Yeah.
Super attracted to her. She wants the same thing. And they get hot and heavy at her place and they decide to keep it casual. They spent a lot of time together though. Within the first 2 weeks of dating, they were like hot and heavy and like inseparable. Which I can relate. I had my ex-husband and I were kind of like that when we first met. We were attached to the hip. So they were having fun. Yeah. And I think during this time, Liz and Dave weren't really seeing each other anymore. And so they were very on again, off again. And so in November 13th, 2012, Dave got ready for work and kissed Carrie on the way out the door. And he told her he would see her later that evening. So I think what happened is she was kind of just like not moved in, but spending a lot of time there because her work was down the street And it was just easier for her to stay the night at his place. And he was happy to have her there. They spent a lot of time. They stayed at his place a lot. And I think she would go back home with to see her son. And he was, I think, a teenager at the time anyway. And he would spend time with grandma. So I think she was getting help. But anyway, so they spent a lot of time together. And he was like, okay, I'll see you later, babe. Kissed her and went to work.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit later that morning when he was working, he got a weird message from her. And it said, let's move in together. And he was kind of like, well, I'm not really interested in doing that. Like, I don't want to get serious like that. I thought we both wanted something casual. So he sent a text message back to her and said, I'm not really interested in doing that. And he, the second he hit send on that text, he got a barrage of text messages back from Carrie. Oh, my God. Just like insane text messages from this lady.
Oh.
Messages that said, fine, fuck you. You ruined my life. I never want to see you again. Text messages like that. Just like boom, boom, boom. And he was super confused and blown away because why is she acting like this all of a sudden? At this point, I think he's thinking she's insane. And he went home and he found that she had already packed all of her things and was gone from his place. So I think he wanted to like confront her about it and like, what the heck is wrong with you? What's going on? But he has only known her for 2 weeks. So it's not really enough time to get to really know someone. And he initially felt really bummed out that all of this happened because he was really into her.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided to just move on with his life. Like, whatever, she's crazy and didn't work out. But not only did Carrie send unhinged messages to Dave, she also sent unhinged messages to her family members, too. So Nancy is Carrie's mom.
Okay.
You know, she shared with her mom that she started seeing a man named Dave. And she knew her daughter was very independent, in charge of her own life. She had a really good job. She was a good mom. She took care of her shit. She said that sometimes they had their ups and downs, like any mother-daughter would. So she started to get really, really worried about her daughter's lack of communication and cryptic text. So she ended up filing a missing persons report on her daughter. So her mother said that Carrie was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and was on meds, but would struggle sometimes with the side effects of the medication. So she would come off of her meds. And so, or she would just feel like numb or catatonic. And sometimes she wouldn't take them. So a lot of people were concerned in her family side that she was having like a psychotic breakdown. And that's why she was acting this way. Because her text messages stated that she was leaving her job. She found a new job. She was moving to Kansas.
Oh.
Yeah. And she would come and get her son later on when she was established in Kansas. Uh-huh. So she wouldn't go to some family events. She left her son, but she was in communication with them still. So it was weird. Even the police thought, like, when they filed the missing persons report, like, she was just off her meds and having a psychotic episode. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, while that's happening on that side of the bridge, just to, for context, Carrie and her family, like Carrie's home was in Iowa, the next state over.
Yeah.
And she and Dave were having their thing in Nebraska, and that's also where Carrie's job is. So it's two different states here. So Carrie's home and residence and her family are also in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And this other story with Dave is happening in Nebraska. So while Dave was continuing to get a barrage of hate texts from Carrie, like what a terrible person he was for dating multiple women. He was getting these for months and months and months. And it wasn't long before Liz started getting the text messages from Carrie, too. Like Liz would start getting, if you don't keep your hands off my man, I'll hurt you. Like they were getting hate messages so frequently that Dave said that he was getting like 60-something plus text messages daily and 125 plus text messages daily of like hate every day from Carrie.
Oh, my God.
Liz's car was keyed. Her clothing would have slash marks in them. Like she was breaking into homes.
Jesus.
Her home was spray painted with the words whore. The stalking was to the point where Dave would be relaxing in his home or at work, and he would get a text message from Carrie stating that she sees him and what he's doing, who he's with, or what he's doing with that person.
God.
He would be sitting at home watching TV. He's like, I see you. You're wearing a blue shirt and blah, 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 and you have your feet kicked up. And he's like, looking around like, oh my God, she's outside my place.
Jeez.
Insane.
Yeah.
She spray painted Dave Beats Women on it, his place of work. So at some point, Dave and Liz ended up getting back together because of their shared trauma with this woman.
Yeah.
They ended up nicknaming her like Crazy Carrie. Dave described that he would block Carrie's number just for it to be replaced with a new number and then a new one. Or he would change his own phone number and she would still find it somehow.
Oh my God.
It was insane. So now that, you know, Liz and Dave are back together, both of their phones would just light up with hate messages to them both. And they're just, it's just insane how often this is happening. Things get much worse when Liz's house mysteriously burned down, burning all of her possessions. Luckily, her kids weren't home. Mm-hmm. But what's really, really, really sad is that all of her pets were in the home and they didn't make it out.
No.
She had like a couple dogs, a couple cats, and a snake.
Oh my goodness.
So sad. Luckily the kids weren't in there too.
But poor
I know, it makes me heartbroken to hear that. So an officer stated that the scene looked like it was an intentional fire. It didn't look like it was an accident, like an electrical fire would or something be. So Liz, I don't know if it was recorded, but she was tear stricken and immediately told the officers, Dave has a crazy ex that he had been seeing for only 2 weeks in November of last year. And she's been stalking her and she just wants to be left alone. And so she identifies Carrie, like, this woman is doing this.
Yeah.
And I just want her to leave me alone.
Which
Dave felt horrible that this was all happening. Like, he thought that he brought this crazy woman into their lives. And and he didn't know she was going to be like this. Even Dave's baby mama wouldn't, like, she knew what was going on and she was so scared that she didn't let her kids come over to his place because all of that was happening.
Yeah.
So if he wanted to see his kids, he would have to go over to his ex's house to see them. Dave said that he was just becoming numb to it all and paranoid. He's just like, it was happening so often. He was kind of just shutting down because he had reported the harassment and all this to the police and they couldn't find her to stop the harassment. Oof. So Dave ended up moving again because he needed to start new. I think what I forgot to mention was Liz also moved somewhere else. She didn't tell Dave where she went because she just didn't want to be found by Carrie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go. Peace out. Nice to know you. And so he felt extremely isolated.
Yeah.
So he wanted to move. He did. I don't know how, but miraculously he wanted to date again. I feel like I would be traumatized and I wouldn't want to.
I would have been absolutely not.
I know. So he signed up for, you know, dating sites and matched with a woman and they were chatting for a bit and they set up a dinner date.
And okay.
So he goes to a diner and he's waiting for this woman. She said she's running late. She's still going to get there. Like an hour and a half goes by and he's thinking he's being stood up while sitting at the diner. So, you know, well. But then all of a sudden he gets a text message from her and it goes, this is Carrie and fuck you.
The fuck?
She signed up for a dating site, matched with him and then stood him up.
And then stood him up on, oh
That's
my
insane.
God.
That's insane. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, that is a lot of work.
This is Carrie. Fuck you.
Yikes.
So things get even worse than they already are. Like she's text messaging him, emailing him nonstop, vandalizing his shop. Burning down people's houses, this woman. And it wasn't long before Amy, Dave's baby mama, is also starting to get threats now. So,
oh my God.
She found out baby mama who she was and started threatening her. So she started getting text messages to stay away from Dave. And she was terrified because she was getting text messages while she was at the park with her kids. So she was being watched too. Like, I see you pushing so and so on the swing and so-and-so is going down the slide, like, and she's looking around like, oh my God.
What the fuck?
She was texting Amy, threatening that she was going to slit her kids' throats in their sleep. So Dave is like, oh my God, I need protection. So he buys a handgun. He bought a 9mm. Mind you, going on for a very long time, years, not months, years now. Carrie hadn't been seen in 2.5 years by her family because she ran off to Kansas. And she was still active on her social media, but no one had seen her in 2 years, 2.5 years. That's Carrie's insane. Mother, Nancy, took over guardianship of her son, Max. And she was missing critical points in her family's lives. Like, she was missing holidays, her son's birthdays, her birthday, her father's funeral. Nancy said that her daughter would never miss in a million years her father's funeral.
Yeah.
Ever. So the story just gets weirder, because where is Carrie and why is she still harassing Dave after all of this time? For only knowing him for 2 weeks. I have never met a man who made that much of an impact on me.
No, no, no. I'm sorry. No.
It's insane. Carrie made a Facebook post on May 18th, 2013, that said something along the lines of, I have answered enough questions to prove myself to everyone and I am done. I am not missing. I just don't want to come home right now. I know I have upset some of you, but I needed to do this for me. I love you all very much. Blah, 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 blah. It was a huge post. It was a post that it was just too long for me to put in here, but it has a bunch of crap in it about, I'm not missing. Stop saying I'm missing. It was just a whole paragraph that was nonsensical.
Right. Rambling.
But one thing, knowing about someone really, really well, is that you know how they speak to you in text.
Yeah.
Carrie's messages were riddled with spelling errors, and they did not sound like her at all. So in any case, like, she was still reported missing. The police knew she was bipolar, and she was still communicating with her family via social media. So the case was cold because they had nothing to go on.
Yeah.
If she wanted to start a new life, and that's her prerogative, but her family absolutely insisted, Carrie did not leave on her own free will.
Yeah.
Weird. So weird. Luckily, the case was revisited and reinvestigated by two officers who took two different approaches to the case.
Mm-hmm.
And so one officer investigated Carrie's missing person case and gathered evidence as if Carrie were still alive to prove she was just really starting a new life and she's happy in Kansas or wherever she was.
Right.
That was his mission. The other officer, his job was to gather evidence to prove that Carrie was no longer alive and to figure out who is impersonating her if she isn't alive anymore.
Right.
So they had two different jobs. Just to prevent any confusion in the case of Carrie, there are two states looking for her for two separate reasons. One is the missing person report in Iowa with the two officers. And the other is in Nebraska. The police are searching for her because she's a stalker and harassing Dave and Liz. So they're trying to find this woman. Everywhere they're trying to find her. The one investigator in Iowa who was looking to see where she, trying to prove that she was still alive, checking her bank accounts. No activity in it for years. None. So even if you were a person who wanted to abandon their child and live a whole new life, you still have to pay for things in your daily life, like food, lodging.
Yeah.
Her account had no activity in it at all, not a single grocery bill or housing. She was just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, when they checked the photos of her home that were taken originally by the investigators, there was not a item out of place. Everything was still there. So all of her clothes were there, her plants, home items. So it's just like, why would she leave everything behind?
Right. This is looking she didn't pay for anything new either. She left willingly.
Yeah. So the evidence is just piling up that Carrie isn't alive at all. And so the question is, you know, where's her body? But then also, who's pretending to be her?
Yeah.
With all of these messages, you know, the investigators get an IT guy. He is their digital expert. He combed through 2 years of digital evidence, which was hundreds of thousands of emails and text messages. And he needed to figure out where all of this stuff was coming from. Who was sending it? Where are they? He explained that every single computer on the internet has an IP address, which stands for Internet Protocol. So when they track an IP address, they can see where it came from.
Yeah.
There was millions, millions of IP addresses that were they were combing through. The person who was sending the messages was using programs to hide their real IP address. So like such things like VPNs, which allow them to access.
VPN essentially allow you to change which country your IP address looks like. That's coming out of
what was throwing them is like this IP addresses are showing up everywhere, even like a McDonald's lobby, like everywhere, millions.
Yeah.
So he had to comb through and spend a lot of time. I think they said in the documentary that he spent like 3,000 hours of his own time combing through all this digital evidence. A lot of hours went into it. And so he was able to narrow down after some time one IP address that was showing up frequently. So it didn't, it wasn't like overnight. It was a long time before he was able to deduce this. So the IP address was connected to a man in Iowa named Todd Butterbaugh.
Butterbaugh.
Just to clarify, the IT guy, his name was Tony. Tony the IT guy. They discovered Todd. He actually worked under the management of Tony. The IT guy working on the case. Todd worked for him. Tony was Todd's boss. That's awkward.
Yeah.
What are you doing there, guy?
Why are you showing up here?
What you doing? They think they found their guy, I bet.
Yeah.
The investigators show up at Todd's place with a search warrant to the
home. Poor Todd is probably so confused.
I know. He's like, what? I didn't do anything. I don't know. So they asked if anyone else lived in the home. And he said that he had an on-again, off-again girlfriend who had moved in with him after her house burned down.
You don't say.
You want to guess who it was?
Who could it be, Char?
It was motherfucking Liz.
Whoa. No way.
Liz was Todd's girlfriend. Yeah. The police were like blown away.
Yeah.
How the fuck? What? She had been using Todd's Wi-Fi for years. They determined it was Liz who was impersonating Carrie the entire time, sending the messages herself. Liz, not Carrie, was the stalker the whole time for 3 years.
So Liz was pretending to be Carrie. And so Liz was the one who was stalking herself. And
yes. The investigators focus hard on Liz.
Yeah.
The original investigation team, the police, they thought Liz was the victim. So she did allow them to download the contents of her phone, believing like, you know, they can't retrieve certain things off of it.
Right.
The police missed a lot of evidence on her phone because they had the wrong perspective. They thought she was a victim. They filtered again through all of her photos and they found a photo, one, from her phone of a black car with plates and everything. From Christmas Eve in 2012. And guess whose car it was? It was Carrie's car.
Carrie's car? Oh.
She had a picture of back of Carrie's car. Why? It's odd to see this photo from the police perspective because this was a month prior before the police even confiscated the car in 2013 in January.
Okay.
Why does she have a picture of it?
Yeah.
Suspicious.
Very, 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 very suspicious.
What this means, for those who haven't guessed yet, is that Liz knew what Carrie's vehicle was before law enforcement was even involved in her missing persons case. Fun fact, though, there was nothing in the car but one mint can that had a fingerprint on it. Originally, when the car was being investigated the first time, they didn't have anyone who matched the fingerprint in their database, so they just kind of like left it there. But when they reinvestigated the car, they had Liz's fingerprint on file. Turns out it did match the fingerprint on the mint can that was found. So that's why they didn't suspect her originally before, was because they didn't have anyone in their system to match it to. We have this fingerprint, it's a mystery, we don't know. Then magically, as the case is ongoing, they match it to Liz. Why is her fingerprint on a mint can in Carrie's car inside if she's Carrie claiming, I don't know who that, I don't know her?
My God.
There's still not enough evidence, though, to prove that Liz did something to Carrie or that Carrie was even dead. They still didn't have, even though you're like, Eureka!
Yeah.
She did it. Yeah. She totally did it. They have to have this evidence in court. They couldn't prove it yet. They didn't have enough yet. In 2015, Dave reported when he got home one night that his 9mm gun was stolen from his home. And shortly after that, there was a 911 call that came in. that Liz was saying that she had been shot in the leg while she was out on a walk in the dark. And she described the shooter as Dave's baby mama, Amy.
What the fuck?
She got shot in the leg. And there's a recording of the call. She's like, I don't know who it was. It was a woman, though. And just like crying. And oh, my God, I got shot in the leg.
Oh, God.
She goes to the hospital. Uh-huh. And so what happened was they interview Liz later after she recovers a little bit after, you know, being shot in the leg.
Fair.
And they lie to her and said that, you know what, we think Amy did this. And she's like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention it, it looked exactly like Amy.
Yeah, and so they go even further and lie and say they found Carrie's remains. And they think that Amy did it. And that they need Liz's help to get her. They don't, aka, like, just so you know, they don't think that Amy did it.
Right, but they're lying to Liz. Through their teeth.
Mm-hmm. They are lying through that, which is really, really smart of them to do, because Liz wants Amy locked up. She will do anything to get her out of the picture, too.
Right.
And so she wants to pin everything on Amy. Mm-hmm. Just to clarify, like, you know, again, the police.
Amy didn't do anything.
She didn't do anything. Liz wanted to cooperate and give up any information about Carrie's disappearance. So they told Liz, if she gets anything from Amy, like threats or confessions from Amy, let them know, send them the information, like emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, you know, something that she did. She emailed herself in Amy's name about what she did about the gunshot on the dock that night. She thought she was so fucking smart to do this. So Liz conveniently got an email from Amy stating, I shot you to make sure you stayed away from Dave. And she forwarded that email to police, which is a great start, they said. But what they really needed when they interviewed Liz some more, they're like, well, we really, to get her for this, we want to nail her for this and put her away forever. What we really need is details on what happened to Carrie. So they push her to respond to Amy, like, you want me to reply to her? And they're like, yeah, we need you to egg her on. Liz thinks, like, the police are hella fucking stupid.
right. Oh, my God.
The investigators need Liz to completely become unhinged more than she already is. So they staged Dave moving in with Amy and his kids. Liz finds out and calls the investigators, and it's recorded. She is, like, in tears, like, audibly upset. Like, why isn't she arrested? Like, she is upset because Amy gets to run around and be free and move in with Dave, and how could they let this happen? She's just upset about it. And they're like, well,
she's just so worried about safety, of course, right? She's just so worried about Dave's safety.
Yeah, she's so worried about Dave's safety. So they said that, you know, to her, you know what, Amy isn't communicating with us, so we don't have any information to really arrest her. She's just communicating with you. So, I mean, we need more. Like, we can't do anything yet. And so, checkmate, Liz delivers. That same night, Liz forwards to police several response emails from Amy. About details on Carrie's murder. Amy confessed, quote unquote, that she killed Carrie in her own car, stabbed Carrie with a knife 3 to 4 times in the chest, in the gut, covered her up with a tarp, burned her, stuffed her body in a garbage can with all the other garbage, and then took her to a local dumpster. Pause for effect.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So up until, like, they didn't have a knife, they didn't have a body, they had nothing. But now they have this email confession from Amy, quote unquote, Liz, you know, the investigators re-examined Carrie's car. This is a third time. They couldn't find, like, they've looked for blood before. They couldn't find anything based on the email confession. Mm-hmm. And they tested her car again, and they still couldn't find anything. So what they did was they ripped off the fabric of the driver's seat and found nothing. They ripped off the fabric of the passenger seat, and boom, they found a blood stain, like a pool of blood.
Ooh.
And they tested it positive for Carrie's blood.
Yeah.
So they arrest Liz because this is enough now to get her.
Yeah.
So they brought her in for questioning, and they said, we have your fingerprint. We have photos. We have the IP address. We know you did it.
Yeah.
And the interview was unreal. Like, she was like so argumentative about it. Like, if you told her the sky is blue, she would be like, no, it's not. It's green. Blah, blah, blah. Like, absolutely flat out, completely 100% defensive, fervently denied anything. And she wanted a lawyer. I don't even know her. I never even talked to her.
Oh, and my God.
I know. All the evidence is pointing at you, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And they just didn't have, like, the murder weapon. They didn't have a body. She wanted a lawyer. And even with all of this, the prosecutors were still worried that they didn't have enough evidence to really convict her for the crime. Yeah. The defense attorney Liz hired was completely confident that they would win because they had no body, no murder weapon. They had an expedited case straight to the judge, no jury. So they were just like, I think the reasoning that I saw on like the ABC clip, and this wouldn't be in the documentary for Netflix, but the attorney wanted to expedite it to, you know, sounds fucked up, but before they could find a body. I mean, going to.
Honestly, though, from a defense perspective, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yes.
So they were requesting a bench trial, right? You're saying like no jury, straight to the judge. So a bench trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's smart, too, because when you don't have a jury, you can like take the emotion out of it. When you're just in front of a judge, the judge has to look at only the law. When you have a jury, you have that human emotion factor.
Yeah. So the prosecutors were worried about not having enough to quite get her. That's why they were expediting everything before they could try to find a body. Mm-hmm. In the last second effort in the case, the investigators asked Dave, like, is there anything else that we could have missed? Do you have any electronics that you forgot about? Like, anything at all? And Dave was like, well, hold on a second. He remembered that he had an old tablet, like an old dead tablet in storage. So he forgot about it. And he's like, let me go get that. So he gets it for the police and they look into it. And so there on the tablet was a 16 gig SD card. And when looking at the SD card and putting it into a computer, like a regular computer, it looks blank, nothing on it. But because they have an IT guy,
right,
they were able to retrieve thousands of deleted photos. And they determined that this SD card used to be Liz's phone SD card.
Oh.
It was her phone. And it was photos from when Carrie went missing in 2012. They combed through thousands of photos. A lot of it was selfies. A lot of it was just random shit.
Right.
They found one weird looking photo that was just abnormal. I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
And tell me what you think that looks like. It's kind of hard to see it.
Oh, it looks like a body part.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a body part with a tattoo maybe. And there's definitely blood.
Yep. They come across that. The IT guy said that he was able to go through an anatomy book and he saw that it was actually a tattoo. It was a foot that they saw. And the lines and the markings on the foot is actually decomposition of the veins. So it was a decomposing foot.
Oh.
And there is a Chinese symbol tattoo that said mother. So that's what that is. Mm-hmm. Here, they asked Nancy, does Carrie have a tattoo? Did she have a tattoo? And she was able to confirm yes. Carrie had that same tattoo on her foot. And this was the evidence that they needed.
Yeah.
It was Carrie's foot that they found.
Oh, my God.
A picture of on Liz's SD card.
Why would you have a picture of it if you didn't kill her?
Mm-hmm. In May 2017, the judge found Liz guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced her to life in prison. And she went to the Nebraska Correctional Center for Women. She still maintains her innocence. And claims that the real killer's out there somewhere. Oh. Ironically, I wonder if all like the text messages and emails stopped after she got put away.
Right, probably. Exactly.
The motive in the prosecutor's eyes, like what was her motive for this? And it seemed like Liz wanted this man to be hers and only hers, and she would stop at nothing to keep him as hers.
Yeah.
And so this is the absolute story of an obsessive, narcissistic, heartless, cold-blooded woman who murdered someone she didn't even know out of jealousy out of an ordinary man who wasn't even that special. And I'm not trying to shit on Dave when I say that because, like, he was your average blue-collar dad. He didn't have millions of dollars.
Right.
He didn't have cars and riches.
Right.
So when he told her he was just casually dating and wanting a fling, she said she was fine with it and wanted that too. But really, she just wanted to be the one. She wanted to be the one in his love story, and she could not accept the rejection. And maybe she was, in my opinion, an only child and wasn't loved. I don't know. I apologize for
only children who are not loved.
I don't mean that everybody, if but maybe in her case. If
you are an unloved only child, we apologize.
Yeah. I have concluding thoughts.
Yeah.
For this story. So I just want to go back to a couple of facts that I didn't mention before.
Yeah.
Just thinking in mind, like Liz adamantly said, I don't know her. I've never talked to her before. I've never been around her car. I've never been in her car. There was a fingerprint in the car.
Right.
That was Liz's. There was a ton of evidence that like I just couldn't go over, but I'm going to go over a couple facts. So it was discovered that Liz, and this I think is in the ABC documentary, and this was not included in Netflix, but Liz Star 67 private called Carrie's residence 6 times before her disappearance.
Oh my God.
They were able to find this data in her phone that she let them download. Mm-hmm. She thought there was no record of it. Like I deleted everything. They can go. Doesn't matter if you think you deleted it. The police can
still recover files.
They can still recover files. Like it's, you aren't safe.
Digital forensics, baby.
Yeah. So Liz wrote Carrie a handwritten check for $5,000 for Carrie's furniture. She sent the photo as Carrie to Carrie's mom, saying that she was serious about moving to Kansas and she needed to get rid of her furniture. This lady named Liz gave me $5,000. She's going to get my furniture. There's a picture of the check.
Right.
And Nancy doesn't know who Liz is. So she's like, oh, okay. Well, all right. When Liz was arrested, they had a search warrant of her home. They also discovered that Carrie's cameras were recovered from Liz's home.
Oh.
One of the camera recorders had video of Carrie talking in the camera about her car being vandalized days before she vanished. Like her car was spray painted. But they recovered these cameras from Liz's home.
Liz had Carrie's stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she didn't kill her. No, no. Mm-mm. Someone else.
Liz had original photos of herself in her own phone, duct tape on her mouth, hands bound, in the trunk of a car, making it look like Carrie abducted her. And she emailed that photo to Dave, which freaked him out. So
holy shit.
Liz was pretending to abduct herself as Carrie. Sent it and said, I'm going to kill her, blah, blah, blah. And so when, like, Dave tried to call Liz, she's like, I'm fine. What are you talking about? Like, maybe Carrie fabricated the photos. But the police were like, no, Liz had the original photo in her phone that she deleted. She did it to herself.
Jesus, fuck.
Insane. Liz created a fake obituary of herself, pretending to be Carrie, saying, like, I'm glad she's dead, like, after her home burned down. It's just, like, a bunch of shit.
Really fucked up
shit. That she was doing. Yeah. Really fucked up shit. I just wanted to recap, though. Liz and Carrie did not know each other at all. They never interacted. They looked at each other in passing.
One time. Yeah.
Liz, again, she denied ever knowing Carrie or talking to her nothing. Just to reiterate, Liz found out every possible detail of Carrie's life, such as her car, her phone number, where she lived, hacked her Facebook. She was sending messages as Carrie to Carrie's son. Because Carrie had been gone for a while and she had Carrie's phone for a while. He was messaging his mom that he just wanted her to come home so she could see him graduate high school.
Oh my God.
Liz saw these messages and didn't respond. In fact, like in messages that she would respond to, I think her son said, hi, mom. And she would say, hey, little man. This is a teenager, by the way. And he'd be like,
yeah.
If this is really you, can you answer these 3 questions? Like, what's our first dog's name? What's this? What's my middle name? Yeah. Stuff like that. And she wouldn't answer. And so that's why our family's like, this is not our daughter, our mother, our sister. This is not who she says she is. This next part. Liz burned down her own home with her animals in it and pretended to be sad about it.
What a fucking cunt. What a motherfucking cunt.
Conveniently, her own kids weren't there, but the animals, I'm thinking, when I think about this story in my head, mm-hmm. I think about why did she do that? Like, maybe she wanted insurance money and she was so sick of taking care of all these pets. She needed to get rid of them. So she just burned her own house down under the guise that it was a crazy stalker lady. She probably thought she was ingenious to do that. Liz stole Dave's gun and shot herself with it. Mm-hmm. to make it look like she was attacked by Amy. It was stated by the investigation team that the amount of stalking, text messages, emails that Liz was generating was equal to having a full-time 40-hour job in itself. And this was going on for over 3 years. This woman cannot get over the rejection for a situation that she agreed to.
And they'd only seen each other for a couple of weeks, right? Like, they weren't together for that long.
She could not handle the fact that Dave would be seeing other women or had the audacity to, even though he told her that he was still dating other people. And she didn't like that. No.
No.
Dave felt incredibly sorry for Carrie's family because he felt responsible. He was guilt-stricken. Yeah. He said, if I hadn't met Liz or Carrie, none of this would have happened. And he has PTSD and paranoia from it still to this day.
Of course he does.
Oh, my God. He's like, I trust no one. I'm like, I wouldn't either.
You're never going to date again.
I know. He probably did. I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't do a follow-up, but I couldn't imagine trying to date again just for fear of finding another Liz, you know?
Yeah.
So Carrie's family were incredibly grateful to the two investigators for solving the case. And they feel like her family feel like they have the closure they needed, and they cleared Carrie's reputation because Liz absolutely obliterated. They wrote her off saying it's just this woman who's off her psych meds. Crazy. That's not what happened at all.
Right. And it's not.
And so if it hadn't been for that whole team dedicated everything they had, they sacrificed family time, health concerns. Like, one of them had a brain tumor. He's like, I need to go into surgery, but I can't yet because I need to solve this case. God. Like, they sacrificed a lot to solve this case.
There are some real life angels on this earth. Yeah,
not all heroes wear capes, but goddamn. Nancy would still be in the dark and they would not know where Carrie was if it hadn't been for them. And then also, who knows how long Liz would have kept this up for, the charade and tormenting Dave and his family. And also, if Liz had been acquitted and allowed to be free, like, I feel like Dave's family would be next on her list. Like, she would kill Amy or something.
Absolutely.
Liz absolutely deserves to rot in prison. She's pure evil.
Absolutely.
And I think her attorney even said something like, those acts in itself, like the Facebook stuff that she was doing, it's like pure evil too. Like, he agreed with it. Like, that, those acts in itself that are true are unreal. So
it's so monstrous to murder someone, like, period. That's the end of the sentence. It's monstrous to murder someone, but it's even more so to murder that person and then impersonate them to their loved ones.
Yeah.
And for years, like, that is so. For years. Absolutely.
Over 3 years.
Unbelievable, disgusting, horrific, deserves to rot in hell. And I just feel so bad for her kids, like her son, who was like, I just want you to come home and see me graduate.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I think about that all the time. Yeah, he just wants his mom back. She was a good mom. She had a good job. She was single, raising her kids. She had a really great job. This woman, this jealous woman, could not stand it and just killed this stranger. For what? For a man at an auto repair shop? Sorry, I'm not trying to shit on Dave, but for what?
Dave was just a very normal man.
He was.
Like, he was a very normal man. He was, he worked blue collar, didn't have a ton, like you said, didn't have a ton of money, didn't have fancy things. Like, he was just your average Joe.
He was, yeah. She wanted him, I guess, to be all hers and no one else's. Meh. So she killed a stranger to get what she wanted. And she wanted Dave to only want her. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we can't let it go.
Right.
Go to therapy. Fuck.
Go to therapy. I very much like my new therapist.
I wonder if she was picked last in kickball all the time. And, like, she was couldn't let go that she would always be picked the last, or she wasn't the one.
She, like, never got a date to prom.
She never had a date to prom, and I don't know. I just think about, like, I wonder if Dave and Carrie would have ended up together and been happy because they had a connection immediately and it would have grew into something more. But I don't blame him for feeling incredibly, like, guilty. I would have too.
I would too.
She would still be alive if he hadn't have met this fucking psychopath.
Yeah. I hope Dave has gone to therapy. I hope he's working through that. Cause I can't imagine trying to work through that.
I think I would be single for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I don't think I would trust another person ever. No. Ever again.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I would probably move into a cabin in the woods and become a hermit and just,
you know what? That sounds great.
Learn how to hunt my food.
I'm going to go hunting for my food and pick mushrooms. Anyway, that is the episode of The Stalker. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with others, and leave a review to help more people discover our podcast. We can't wait to keep sharing these fine, chilling stories with you. If you want more information on today's subject, I almost said suspect. If you want information on today's subject, all of our sources are going to be posted in the episode description notes. If you want more information on the suspect, I'm laughing at my own stupidity. And we also need stupid shit for the intro or the outro.
What she meant to say is if you want more information on today's subject, all of our sources will be posted in the episode description notes.
There you go. Thanks, Ashley.
To stay up to date on future episodes, you can follow us on Instagram at Insomniacs the Podcast, on Facebook at Insomniacs the Podcast Discussion Group, and finally on TikTok at Insomniacs.pod. Don't miss out on all the latest true crime, supernatural, and super spooky content.
So is there anything that you learned from this episode or want to comment on?
So this is actually a case, once we started getting into it, you started going over like the text messages and stuff, I realized I was familiar with the case.
Oh, okay.
So I was familiar with it. It's absolutely insane. And I 100% recommend watching these documentaries.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much to this story. But like, as soon as you said that Carrie lit up a room, I was like, oh, she's dead. Anyone described as who lights up a room, they're dead.
Oh my God. Yeah. I saw it on your face too. I was like, hold on all of your comments. I have a whole story.
If you are ever watching a true crime documentary and anyone at all describes anyone else as they light up a room, they're dead. They're dying. They're dead. The end of the episode, they're going to be dead. That's how you know. If they say this, so-and-so lit up a room, they're dying. Okay. That's just my little pro tip for everyone.
I didn't even think about that. Well, Liz didn't light up a room and she was alive.
The other thing is, like, as soon as you mentioned that she was only communicating via text, I was like, she's no longer of this earth. Yeah. It's sad. There's no other way to describe this case. It's a tremendously sad case, and there's no lessons to take away from it because nothing anyone did could have, should have, would have led to this. Mm-hmm. Dave was honest and upfront, and he had every right to want a casual relationship. He had every right to date people, to find himself. There's no lesson to take from this. Sometimes there are just psychotic, horrible people on this earth.
Yeah.
That's the scariest thing about this case, is that there's no lesson to take away because nobody acted in a way that they could have.
Just no one.
Trust no one. Bitches be crazy.
When I wanted to go through this episode and structure it, I wanted it to be a mystery. Like, is she really still alive and doing this?
Yeah.
What a crazy lady. But right. Then the evidence is becoming more clear, it's just like one and one isn't adding up. You have this lady who's disappeared from her family and they're like, where is she? This is not like her. And then you have the other side, which is she's a stalker, crazy person. But in reality, it was Liz who was outside of Dave's home, driving around Amy's home, too, because the police were tracking her with a tracking dot. They were following her location on a map, and she was circling Amy's house at night.
Fucking insane.
Sending text messages.
Amy was definitely going to be her next victim.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Amy definitely would have been, Dave's whole family would have been in danger. And she's just, I feel like she would have tormented Dave and his family to the ends of the earth. And what I think about with this case is that the reason why when they thought it was Carrie was getting his new information, his new emails or whatever he was doing. He was updating that shit to Liz, like, hey, Carrie found my new phone number again. Here's my new phone number. And so Liz is like, yeah. And she's OK, well, and then she was using apps to disguise her phone number, disguise her email address or her IP address. And she was creating fictitious emails. What I think happened with Carrie's phone, because Liz had her phone too, but she wasn't paying on the phone. So I think when the phone bill was due and it wasn't paid, I think she figured out how to hack into the phone. I'm sorry, the phone, like Facebook.
Yeah.
And maybe had a different phone and added that. I don't know the detail. I'm guessing because they didn't go over that, but she was still logging in to her Facebook accounts and being social media on her social media accounts, even though her phone wasn't in service or whatnot. I think that's what happened.
Probably just connected the phone to Wi-Fi. It was probably like, I can use this even if my service is off because I can just connect it to Wi-Fi.
She was doing something like that where she would still connect for 3 years. She was doing it. This poor kid is like, where's my mom?
I just want my mom to come to my high school graduation. Like that. Oh, that
breaks my heart.
Breaks me
for him. And anyway, so just it's a horrible. So she did all of this shit on purpose. I cannot believe someone would be that obsessive and
cold and heartless.
Yeah. I still can't believe like she's still denying it. The killer's out there somewhere with me. Bullshit.
That bitch.
She could be caught red-handed with a knife in her hand and she would still deny it. And so whatever you gotta tell yourself, honey, but you're not getting out of there.
Thank God. Thank God she's not getting out.
She would absolutely continue and or do this to someone else. So she needs to stay there. That is our story. And thank you guys for hanging out for it. So I just want to say, stay safe out there, and you don't know anyone until you know them, and even then you might not know them, and trust no one.
Trust no one. Bitches be crazy.
Bitches be crazy. Anyway. So all right. What is it? What do we do? Stay spooky.
Well, stay safe, stay spooky, sweet dreams, right? Mm-mm. Stay spooky, stay safe, sweet dreams. Mm-hmm. We do three.
Stay spooky, stay safe, sweet dreams.
Oh, you're right.
Stay spooky.
Stay safe.
And sweet dreams. Bye. Bye. I don't know how I ended it before I started ranting.
It's okay. Sean will make it sound fine.
Sean, can you make this sound fine? Talking about after we stopped recording.
Of course, as soon as we stopped recording.
We were talking about like, you know what's a good idea is having a code word with your family.
Yeah, like this case.
Missing. I was like, banana. That'd be fun.
Like this case is so crazy. And it like what I was saying is like, it makes me want to come up with a code word with all of my friends, all of my family.
Yeah.
Whereas like, if you start suspecting it's not me texting you. Yeah. Ask for the code word. Jar was like, I don't like banana or something. And I go,
it's just like, that's such a funny word.
I don't know why.
Kumquat.
I don't know why kumquat was the first thing that came to mind. But
because no one would suspect that as a word.
We're telling everyone now. So this is, FYI, that's not going to be my code word. So if you're planning on murdering me, that's not the code word.
Oh, right. We have to change the words now. Fuck.
Great.
That's just an example of a word. So anyway, make a code make word, a code with, your word family, with
your family.
Friends.
Where if it's like they're suspecting you.
Kumquat.
Maybe give your kids a word something that's like easier for them to remember.
Oh, yeah. Pringles. Hot Cheetos. Make it a food item. They'll remember that. I was thinking sex, but
we went two very different places with that.
I know, sorry. Anywho, have a good day. Bye. Bye. Okay, mother. I'm coming soon. I am a mess. Like, I didn't shower yet. I haven't, like, I threw on my makeup and I probably look insane.